We have three levers for value creation right now. One is Serpentine that I mentioned. So Serpentine is already a resource. And what we want to do there is we want to de-risk that asset. So it's already worth a tremendous amount of money. And then as it is, because there's copper equivalent pounds in the ground known, but now to add value there, we de-risk it. We figured out that the previous operators had drilled 10 holes, but not assayed all the core. So it was like having effectively a partial free drill program, right? We got to take core that they just put in a shelf and assay it.
Tell me about it. What were the results?
Very nice results. So what they did was they took a look at the core that was like flashy, where you could basically see the metal on the core, right? And there's not always a lot of that. And in particular, in this part of the world, these systems are made up of that really sort of high grade flashy stuff. You can see it on the core. And then it disseminates out to go to lower grade. But those are that's your tonnage. That's what makes large economic deposits, right? You're not going to tunnel down to one little tiny shiny rock and have that be a mine. You need a lot of copper distributed throughout a system.
David Suda, Greenbridge Metals. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. It's awesome to be with you.
It's really good to see you. To all my viewers and listeners, I met David, I want to say it was in December, if I'm not mistaken. He was in Atlanta, presented to us and to my friends, my investment group here in Atlanta. I really put David in the hot box, and David really hit it out of the park, and that's why he's on the show. I thought very highly of him. As of the dropping of this video, I am not, as of yet, an investor in Greenbridge Metals. That being said, that can and might very well change over the next several weeks after this video drops. Just wanted to give all my viewers and listeners a heads up on that. David, tell me about Greenbridge Metals. Where are you guys out of? And give me a 30,000-foot view starting out.
Thanks, Andy. You did put me in the hot box, and it was fun. You actually you put me on point. So
you handled it exceptional, I might add. So
it was great. Best to be told what you want to hear. So on that note, Greenbridge Metals, purpose built, public junior, definitely with a focus on copper and critical metals from day one. This is a company that, was put together by a group of people who have generally been resource investors, myself included, our board and the cornerstone investors. And, this was a couple of years ago, we sort of started thinking about this. I was working for another company in a different metal, actually uranium. But we had this long-term view on copper and other critical metals. So we started to put together a package of assets that started with a nickel property in Canada. Nickel was attractive at the time. We needed an asset of merit. And in doing so, the vendor of that property that we met introduced us to a group that held a really beautiful package of properties in Minnesota. And those properties fit the bill for us because we're Greenbridge, we're critical metals focused, we're trying to catch this tailwind for critical metals that was coming from governments, both in Canada and the US. So here we saw this package of assets that had copper, nickel, cobalt, vanadium, titanium, platinum group metals. Like the Duluth complex in Minnesota is incredible. And then all of a sudden we realized, wow, there's also infrastructure and a huge, huge deep mining history. So we put this together. It took some time. We started with a package of exploration properties that we optioned, really interesting and exciting, privately held by, very smart people, fully privately funded since 2004, some of these properties. So you can imagine getting, opening a drawer with data and seeing all this work done and knowing where to go to drill your next hole, or you know, knowing that you need to fly a modern VTEM survey in order to upgrade the mag, all the different things. So here we are. Now we've got a package with a 43101 mineral resource estimate property, which is, we call the flagship. I call it our value piece, our strategic value piece. It's almost 300 million tons of 0.53 copper equivalent. So it's largely made up of copper with a nickel credit. And it is right next to New Range, which is a Teck Glencore JV, north of Duluth in Minnesota, right in the middle of all the infrastructure. And then we've got a string of pearls, which are a series of properties that I alluded to, where there's a huge opportunity for growth. We can go out and make discoveries, but you know, we're not necessarily making discoveries. In our past discussions, Andy, and I'm rambling, but you had mentioned we're sort of like brownfields exploration. You're right. And that really, you know, that was strategic on our part. We wanted to be in the right metals, we wanted to be in the right place, and we wanted to do it in a way where the outcomes weren't going to be binary. We knew we wanted to have decent shots when we put money in the ground.
Yeah. So about that, to all my viewers and listeners, I thought of this as that's very key with what you just said, David. This is, I would say, absolutely an exploration company. It's brownfields. They know what they have, in the sense of all of the data is already there. It just, this is just a underdeveloped property, if you would. Correct me if I'm wrong, David. And then there's so much room for further exploration. But what really got me really out of my seat is that you are really right on the line to an adjacent property to a producer. Is that correct?
There was, yes, iron ore production that bumped right up against the property, and they had to stop because they didn't have the mineral rights. The copper nickel sits there in a pit now. That's, you know, that's our 43101 mineral resource estimate. If anybody looks at our deck, or you know, if there's an opportunity to throw that picture up, Andy, you can see that they mined right up against this and had to stop.
So yeah. Go ahead.
It's really cool. You know, there, and on that slide, on that picture, you can see a railroad, you can see roads, you know, this is one of these things where, the resource is in a place where there's literally mining right to the boundary.
Yeah. And that's, again, to all my viewers and listeners, I was already interested, but I immediately got interested when I saw that slide.
You said, why don't you lead with that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wow. Okay. You really got something here. This is not just a run of the mill, project here. Talk to me, a little bit more. How are you going to grow this here, and what are really the, what's the plan for, really? Take me through the next really 2 to 3 quarters here, or take me through the rest of the year. What is the plan and the development of this?
The most important question, I guess you're probably going to ask me, because a lot of companies' problem is finding good assets. We've been very fortunate to find those. So what we consider to be the crux of our endeavor to put value on the table for ourselves and investors is executing on these assets. And there's almost too much here to chew on for a junior. You know, I think, I just want people to know that we have a right-sized plan for the size of our company, right? We're not a billion-dollar company. We don't have $100 million in the bank. We just raised six. Mm-hmm. And so with that six, you know, going back to the original plan that we talked about, which was, you know, to have as little risk as possible and to deploy that capital as efficiently as possible, we have three levers for value creation right now. One is Serpentine that I mentioned. So Serpentine is already a resource. And what we want to do there is we want to de-risk that asset. So it's already worth a tremendous amount of money. And then, as it is, because there's copper equivalent pounds in the ground known, but now to add value there, we de-risk it, right? We drill additional holes, we start environmental baseline studies. We do hydrogeology testing. So we're testing the water table so that, you know, in order to get a permit, you got to understand where's the water going. All of those important things that are required, you know, in a state like Minnesota or anywhere else, you know, in tier one jurisdictions these days, you got to get started on these things early and they take time. So we're going to start out by doing some drilling, and that drilling at Serpentine, will likely start, after the first half. So, that's the farthest out, but it's important. And maybe it's not as sexy. So now I'm getting to the sexier part. We have a property called Skibo, which we did a whole bunch of desktop work on. And when we set up our own facility and offices and core shop down there, we figured out that the previous operators had drilled 10 holes, but not assayed all the core. So it was like having effectively a partial free drill program. Right, we got to take core that they just put in a shelf and assay it. So we had out of the 10 holes, we assayed half of that core that hadn't been touched by the previous operators, and that came out in mid-July. I think if you reference our website, it's the
tell me about it. What were the results?
Very nice results. So what they did was they took a look at the core that was like flashy, where you could basically see the metal on the core, right? And there's not always a lot of that. And in particular, in this part of the world, these systems are made up of that really sort of high grade flashy stuff. You can see it on the core, and then it disseminates out to go to lower grade. But those are that's your tonnage. That's what makes large economic deposits, right? You're not going to tunnel down to one little tiny shiny rock and have that be a mine. You need a lot of copper distributed throughout the system. So what those results showed us was that we have signs of that type of system. Another Serpentine, perhaps. That's the one, the 43-101, right? So perhaps, who knows? But we have another—
David, I'm gonna interrupt you. We should have led with that. That's fantastic. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is awesome. I'm going to have to keep changing my story for you.
I wasn't aware, so that's news to me. It makes it more sexy, but go ahead.
The second half of the core that had not been assayed is now at the lab.
When is that back?
Like pretty soon, in the next, inside of a month.
Wow, excellent. So all my viewers and listeners, some news should be dropping within the next month. Correct me if I'm wrong.
David. Yeah, that's right. Assays. So that's cool. I like that because, you know, we didn't have to drill those. So again, we're going back to that efficiency, the use of capital. We're leveraging the fact that this is quote unquote brownfields, right? And so we're just showing investors that we have these levers to pull on. And then the other big deal that's happening here in terms of what's to come is we're going to spend around $1 million, maybe $1.5 million, to drill at a property called Titac. And Titac is interesting because Titac has an existing titanium resource that was drilled by another company again before we got there. Mm-hmm. And so they put out a 43-101 mineral resource estimate on titanium back then. And it was the first place that we looked when we took on the properties because it was the most organized data set because it was done by, you know, a company like we are, not the private group that was just doing the exploration for their own purposes. This was a group that was used to organizing data in a commercial way, and it was in a resource. So we looked at it and we were like, whoa, this is cool. Titanium, we're not really, titanium's interesting. It's a critical metal. Certainly it's, you know, it's on the list, but we want to be a copper company and a nickel company. So we see these huge intersections of copper in the data set. And then we started asking ourselves, well, why didn't they do anything about the copper? Well, they were there drilling for titanium. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they ran out of money and they had trouble figuring out how to operate with the metallurgy on the titanium side. Again, not as important to us, a great call option. And I just said, well, why don't we go follow up on 460 meters of 0.37 copper? Like, it could be another serpentine.
Right.
So we're drilling some holes, stepping out from where we know that there's copper and titanium. And I think that's going to be really exciting, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's a great starting point for a drill program. It's not a huge drill program. We're not taking a massive risk, right? We're going to go and drill six holes, stepping out from really good numbers in a well-mineralized spot. So we're giving ourselves a good chance. That kicks off at the end of January.
Excellent. Okay. So
we hired a driller. We've got the permits, all the things.
So it should be a healthy, a healthy flow of news then here coming out really over the next 6 months, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So talk to me about Minnesota here. And one of the things that stood out, because I had no idea that there is minerals in Minnesota. It's not a jurisdiction that I hear. Why wasn't it developed? Why isn't Minnesota developed more? And is that changing, if you would? There's a saying, buy straw hats in the winter and I think that might pertain to Minnesota, because Minnesota might be changing for mining. But talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's a really important part of our thought process. Again, being lucky enough to have these properties with fantastic endowment, you know, we don't worry about that as much. So where do we spend our time? You know, where are we sort of calculating risk? Where are we adjusting? You know, what's our risk adjusted investment here? The mining environment in Minnesota is incredible because it has over 100 year history of mining. There's, mm-hmm. there's an area called the Iron Range, and it's been mined literally for over 100 years I think it was actually started by, Henry Ford for the auto industry back that far back. But so that what that does is it sets the stage. There's active mining. There's abandoned pits from iron mining, but that's all iron mining. So non-ferrous mining, so copper mining is new to Minnesota, and there have been existing players historically throughout that see the same opportunities that we do from a mineral endowment perspective, that had to work with the state of Minnesota to effectively create a framework for permitting non-ferrous mining, so non-iron mining, copper, nickel. And it's been a challenging road, for a lot of those groups over time. These things take time, right? Like, you're making law. You're not the fifth or the seventh or the 20th group jumping through a regulatory framework. You're working with a state that's concerned. Like, if we do this, is it going to ruin our water? And those are the things we care about. So we're not afraid of this. We actually like the fact that Minnesota now has a rigorous and transparent permitting framework. And for our needs and goals, for where we are and the amount of value that we feel like we can create between now and 5 years from now, before we ever even consider doing any mining, like, we're discovering metal. And as we de-risk these discoveries, we're creating value, mm-hmm. before we ever need to go into that permitting framework. And that permitting framework, you were very astute to say, you know, is obviously evolving, and there's a tailwind there. We feel there's a tailwind there. Look, if you have countries like Canada, the US, a lot of the Western world is you know, seeking to reshore the production of a lot of these metals, secure them. There's strategy. There's people always talk about security, even like as far as military requirements for some of these metals like titanium. If you're going to be doing those things, unfortunately, you don't get to choose where the metal is in the ground.
Right. Yeah.
So from a federal level, there has been some change
There's been a lot of change, I'd say, at the federal level, but really what I want to get to, how is this being received at the local level? Is, and it sounds to me like Minnesota's becoming, because it's so, I don't want to say more friendly, but because it's so new, that they're really open and in fact might even start embracing this. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think it's very mixed, and there's a huge opportunity for us because we're the new kid on the block. Like we're coming, we're not carrying any of the baggage of the past, you know, development of where some of these other groups sit. We are coming in with a fresh look. We are, and this is going to be for another time, but you know, we're part of what we're working on is in parallel, we actually, you know, don't want to be your grandmother's minors. We have an advisor, for example, from Minnesota, who's got a really incredible take on what, you know, processing some of these metals could look like. Smaller footprint, smaller capex, and far different from an environmental standpoint. So as we come in and create value by finding these metals, you know, in parallel, how we engage with the community is going to be extremely important. And we want to be a new voice. We want to be thought leaders. We want to listen, right? We want to listen to what the community says. We want to be there on day one, saying, hey, look, this is kind of what we're trying to do here. What do you guys think? So that's a really important thing, right? Because we have to find the people that are pro mining, and we have to work with them. And then we have to find the people that are not so pro mining or fully pro, or against mining. And then we need to talk to them as well. So that's a big piece of what we do. I think it's a differentiator. Our name speaks to it, right? My background is that, you know, I went to York University in Toronto and I did environmental studies. Like I'm not a hardcore investment banker. I was kind of a greenie. So I see it from that perspective and I understand the need to kind of engage with that. So to your point, yes, there is definitely, we feel a change coming, but it's a change that it would be misleading for us to tell investors, oh yeah, like there's going to, you know, so-and-so is going to get their permit back next weekend and then it's go time. Like that's not what we're doing here, but we can, you know, again, we looked at this, we've come in and we've invested in these properties and in our teams in Minnesota in a very like risk adjusted manner, right? And these opportunities wouldn't be here if there was already, you know, green light accepted.
And that's really what I'm getting at. It seems to me like it's early, and that's a great place because that's where you pick up cheap assets and value, if you would. But it seems like Minnesota, I don't want to say changing, but things are changing just because of just being added, copper being on the critical minerals list. And then the research I've done, it seems like the local communities are very aware of this and they want the business, if you would, and to work with in the best way, some of the best companies, if you would, to make deals happen, make things happen, correct?
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about share structure and money in the bank here. One of the things I look for is a drilling program fully funded for the year. Talk to me about cash. How much cash do you guys have? And then let's talk about share structure.
Okay. So, I'll 200 million shares out approximately.
Okay.
And cash is simple because everybody can see, if they look at our website and our news, we just closed a $6 billion Canadian financing. It was private placement at, 9 cents, and there is a half warrant at strikes at 15 for 3 years.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge that we've faced over the last half decade, as you know, has been that we've been in, you know, financially starved equity capital markets. And that's changing. So
that is absolutely changing. I've seen a lot of money come into not only from funds, but also retail interest, if you would, into this space. I think it's absolutely changing. So you have 6 million in the bank.
Yep.
Okay. And you got 200 million.
Well, hold on. I said it's around 6 million. It's been a few days. So
all right. Okay. Roughly. Okay. We're going to I'll ballpark it between 5 and 6 million. Okay. Okay. So you're well funded really going into the new year, correct?
We're funded to do the things that we've talked about, Andy. That's the most important thing, you know, and we've been careful, right? Like we feel good now, as a community, or, you know, a group of junior exploration miners. But, you know, these things change quick. So we're going to stay very focused, laser focused on creating value for, you know, for use of proceeds that is sensible.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, my job really is to be in front of people like you as much as I can, and just make sure that I keep on, you know, finding the next person that sees what we see and making them a shareholder, you know, and then also hopefully making them a voice for us, so that we have the opportunity to build something that isn't, for example, as challenging to raise money for, right?
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Okay, David, where do people find you, find more information about Greenbridge Metals? What exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
So our ticker symbols in Canada on the CSE, we are GRBM. On the OTCQB, we are GBMCF. And then we also are on a few of the different Frankfurt exchanges, or sorry, German exchanges. On the FWB, our ticker is J48.
Excellent. David, I'll put all of this. I'm sorry?
Playing bingo. Bingo.
Yeah. I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. David, looking forward to an update, hopefully soon. Really, really pleased that you came on the show. And yeah, and we'll see, follow the story and see where you guys are going.
It's such a pleasure meeting you in Atlanta. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be on with you on your show. Thanks a lot for having me, Andy.
Pleasure's all mine. Would love to get you on again soon.